chapter number 4. It's just a joy to be here this morning. I'm glad I'm here around the Word of God. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 4. We're going to begin reading in verse number 38 this morning. Just a few verses. You can find Luke 4 and 38. Then turn, if you would, over to the left into Mark's Gospel. There we'll find the parallel teaching found in Mark chapter number 1 and verse 29. That's Luke 4 and Mark chapter number 1. In Luke's Gospel, he said in chapter 4 and verse 38, he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. Now, I will stop right there and say something while I'm there. I've noticed if you want to say something here, you better speak up because you can't say it there. Amen. But watch this. Simon's wife's mother. If Simon Peter was the first pope, why was he married? He wasn't a pope. He is an apostle. Amen. Anyhow, don't know where that come from, but I'm glad I said it. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with great fever, and they besought him for her. He stood over her, and he rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now in Mark 1, 29, the parallel gospel to the story. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered in the house of Simon and Andrew. And look what Mark said. Somebody else is there that Luke didn't describe. Well, James, John. Sort of like me and you writing a letter. If even though we were both there, we both may describe different things of what we saw. So that's why our writers are different in the parallel gospel. It's all inspired. Some just wrote by the Holy Ghost what others didn't write. Then he said this, but Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. And there's a word we don't use, and a nun. It means immediately. They tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand, lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her. And she ministered unto them. You may be seated this morning. Father, thank you for this time together. Help us in the preaching. This morning we ask you, realizing, Lord, I can do nothing within myself. But knowing you, our great God, can do anything today. Would you let preaching be easy? Would you bring my mind to the things I've studied? And I pray you'd let me be a blessing to your people this morning. Help us in this day, this hour, God. Many of our church family, Lord, they're saddened and heartbroken. I pray you'd touch them like only you can do. There'd be one here lost this morning. Pray you'd draw them by your great compassionate love and your sovereign and graceful hand. Help us today in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Been preaching on the thought from the last couple of Sundays on miracles from the Master. I'm glad our Master still got some miracles. And I'm glad our miracles has a Master. And honey, let me tell you something. Be careful not to be looking for the miracle. Just be in tune with the Master. But here we've had the thought in the marriage at the Cana of Galilee and John, we found the first miracle. And the mother of Jesus was there. And last Sunday, we not only looked at the first miracle, but we seen a feeding miracle. Jesus took some throwbacks and five loaves and fed 5,000. I'm glad what Brother Adam said this morning. Jesus never runs out. And I wrote that in my Bible. I'm glad Jesus never runs out. But this morning, I don't want to look at the first miracle or the feeding miracle, but I'm interested in this fever miracle. And you'll find in this passage, there was a trip that we need to look at. Now, the Bible said in Luke 4 and 38, He arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. I'm glad He's a God that just don't show up at church. Would somebody help me on Sunday morning? Glad He's a God that'll come up in our house. So we see this trip of the Master. We find out that He left the synagogue and He went into Simon's house. Now, concerning this trip, I want to say in the book of Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5, there's a marvelous text here. It says this, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, here this trip, I want to say it was a lowly trip. Can you imagine that God left heaven and came to this world? I want to say it was a lowly trip. He became obedient unto the death of the cross. I want to say that God had a heart for us to send His Son. The Jehovah Witnesses say that He was a good man and a prophet, but honey, the Bible teaches a lot greater than that. He was God-man. God manifested in the flesh, sent down from heaven for the likes of me and you. He's God-man. He spoke to the storm. There's a lot of men talks about the weather, but I'm glad to serve a God that can talk to the weather this morning. He said, Peace be still, and it laid down. And they said, What manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey His voice? I tell you who He is. He's God, man. We see this trip. It was a lowly trip, and I'm going to say, secondly, I think it was a lonely trip. Can you imagine God left heaven with all of its angels? God left the surroundings of heaven to come to this old world. And many times they walk off and left Him. It was a lowly trip, but it was a lonely trip. Then I want to say thirdly about this trip. I found out it was a loving trip. God didn't come here to punish us. He came here to save us. He came to do what the law of Moses could not do. Many of you need to understand this concept about the Bible. It's not about trying to get to heaven by living by the Ten Commandments. There's nothing wrong with the law. It's something wrong with us. When we look in the law, it becomes a mirror, a schoolmaster, and it shows us just how wicked we are. Paul said this, a Pharisee of the Pharisees was taught at the feet of Gamaliel. He knew the law like no other, but he said, when I look in the law, there's something rises up in me to show me for the things I want to do, I don't do them. And the things I don't need to be doing, I find myself doing. So you need to learn about this concept. Going to heaven's not about rules and keeping regulations. It's about trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And then the Bible teaches us after we're saved, we're new creatures in Christ. And if we're going to heaven, we ought to be living like it more than we go into hell. Somebody say amen. If there's a heavenly exchange and experience happen to you, no, you're only perfect by the blood of His Son. And yes, we're going to make mistakes. But the Bible teaches we're new creatures in Christ. We can't do what we was doing long. And some of you's tried it, and I've tried it, but I'm not comfortable in sin. And God help me to be the pastor of a New Testament church that if anybody's sitting around fooling with sin, they're not comfortable being in sin. It's not the preacher bothering you, honey. It's the Holy Ghost bothering you. It's the Word of God bothering you. It ain't this shouting preacher tears your nerves up. It's the Word of God's tearing your backside up. And honey, let me tell you, it's no respecter of person. When I get out of line, it puts me back where I need to be. And I'm going to tell you this morning, there's a concept there about a trip. I'm glad Jesus loves us and left His world to come to our world. And if you wait until you can live good enough to go to heaven, you're going to die and go to hell in your sin. But there's a God in heaven that loves you enough. He sent His Son to die in your place. There's none good, no, not one. It's just some sorrier than others. Somebody say amen. And I'd be careful about throwing a rock too, friend. Because I done found out them rocks I throw, they come back in a hurry. Somebody say amen. None good. No, not one. Well, preacher, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. Well, I ain't either, honey. That's why you better get born again by the grace of God. I've heard people say, well, what about all them people down there at the church? I ain't worried about them people in the church. I'm worried about me. And you better get worried about you. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And I'm glad the love of God will guarantee us into heaven. Just like what Brother Barry said this morning, I can tell you the day my life changed. Boy, I'm glad when we trust Jesus, because this trip He made, we can be gloriously born again by the good grace of God. People need to quit trying to live by the law. The law's perfect. We're imperfect. We can't live by it. Yes, it needs to be back in our schoolhouses. Yes, it needs to be in the courthouse. But I can't live it and go to heaven by it. Because I can't keep the law. But I'm glad by grace are you saved through faith. I'm glad grace can save an old boy and do something the law could never do. The grace of Jesus. Now, there's a fever miracle. We notice, first of all, there's a trip. Jesus arose out of the synagogue, but now we see there's not only a trip, but now there's a temp. He said, and Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. This great fever, it just wasn't normal. I've met people with fever. They've had preacher fever. They get hot. All out of sort. I know some folks have truck fever. Some folks have fishing fever. Deer hunting fever. Some of you little old girls got boy fever. Some of you little old boys got girl fever. Well, you ought to have girl fever. Somebody say amen. At least you ain't got boy fever, boy. Say amen. But I'm glad Jesus is interested in fever. Now you'll notice this, not only this trip, but this temp. There's something about this, I don't know if you've noticed. I'm not going to preach long, so you better grab this morning. I want to say, first of all, it was a great fever in verse 38. It just wasn't normal. The Bible said, In 38, Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. And then it was a grabbing fever. The Bible said in verse 38, it had taken her. It had taken her with a great... It had controlled her. And then it was a greedy fever. You ever notice this? This greedy fever, it had taken her, but now it controls her. Have you ever noticed this? And it's so true. When you start playing with sin, it's not long it'll start playing you. This fever came upon her and now it's controlling her. It is a great fever. It's a grabbing fever and it's a greedy fever. I'm going to tell you, be careful what you say about people. They may be eat up with fever. Be careful because I've noticed when these things come, they don't want to turn loose too much. They love to grab you and keep you and get you out of business. Matter of fact, I want to elaborate on something right here. If you'll notice, they've just left a powerful meeting in Luke 4:31. He come to Capernaum. They were astonished at his doctrine and word. And the Bible said that there came a spirit of an unclean devil and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth?" And Jesus rebuked him, said, "Hold thy peace. Come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him. Well, the devil was mad. I've noticed this. You may have a victory down in the synagogue, but then the devil will show up at your house. Some of y'all don't never do enough for God to get the devil to come around your house. But honey, I can tell you this, great victories in the synagogue will bring you devil trouble at the house. You'll notice this wasn't a bacteria. This wasn't a virus. You'll notice that it was a great fever and it took her. So if it took her, it sounded like it come from somewhere. Now I can tell you this, all disease and all sickness is not of the devil, but some of it is. I've seen times that I hurt more on Sunday than I did on Monday. And many times the devil tries to paralyze us for doing something for God, or he is very vindictive. He will make you pay for doing something for God. But I'm glad Jesus said, "Pick up your cross and follow after me." It is a price to serve God, and don't let nobody fool you. It will cost you something to serve God. But honey, let me tell you what, His rewards is out of sight. So we see not only a trip, but now we see a temp. It was a great fever. It was a grabbing fever. Reached out and got her and knocked her out of business. Boy, isn't that just like us a lot of times in our lives? We see great victories at the church, but then we get home and we got issues at home. Some of y'all don't believe me. It's just because you ain't never had no victories in the synagogue. But honey, I'm going to tell you something. All of a sudden we see Jesus is in the miracle business. We see not only a trip, we see not only a temp, but I see a task. Look what happens. The reason I read in Mark's gospel, James and John was with him. Now, can y'all imagine that? As Brother Jeff said, I've been able to be around some great men of God. But Brother Lee, could you imagine being in a home service with Peter, James, John, Andrew, and Jesus? Some of y'all think church is boring. I don't know why you want to go to heaven, honey. We're going to have church for centuries. Could you imagine being in the house of Peter, James, John, Andrew, and there's Jesus. And their task. You know what they done? And some of y'all ought to get in on this. It'd help you. You remember I preached last Sunday about the reason that Jesus fed all them people? Because He had them to sit down. Amen. I tell you why they seen him, because everybody sat down. And that's what me and you need to do. Sit down and let people see Jesus. And then secondly, instead of talking about each other about somebody with a fever, we ought to talk to Jesus about the fever. Yak, 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 yakety, yak, yak. I wonder if we spent as much time talking to Jesus as we did about each other, how many miracles we'd see. Don't throw a book. I still got a good right arm. Ain't I preaching right? Their task. And it's a pretty good task. You ever notice that when somebody does you wrong and you get a chance to jump in? Y'all don't want preaching over there. I'm going to preach over here this morning. I'm going to get over here where it's more preacher friendly. I'm talking about Brother Wayne. I'm talking about Miss Betty. When somebody does you wrong and it comes up down there at the Piggly Wiggly and you get a chance to jump in that thing with both feet. I don't like people do me wrong. I'm sorry, I don't. I wish I was a better preacher for you, but I just don't like it. I'm sorry, I just don't like it. I still love to chew tobacco, I just can't. And I still got fight in me that ain't got gone yet. But he's still working on me. I may go to heaven broke down, but honey, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to preach a message on Lord. I'm a limping, but I'm a coming home. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. I wonder how much our church would be better. I wonder how much our lives would be better if we'd keep our mouth shut and get into the Lord. Whoop, whoop. Hallelujah. Somebody give the preacher a raise. It's a task, buddy. I'm talking about when somebody's done turned your wagon over. And then you get a chance to burn theirs. I like what that little girl said, preacher. Shadrach, Meshach, kneecap. Some of y'all read the Bible backwards. I like what my little niece said. She said, Brother Ken, you know what Jesus said I learned in Sunday school? Miss Renee said, tell preacher what you learned. She said, I learned. She said, you do unto others before they do unto you. That ain't King James, though. It ain't King James. Ain't King James. Their task. Wonder if our church, and I'm going to tell you something, we've got one of the greatest churches in America. But I want to say, the church don't have the influence it has if we didn't have the preaching that we have. And the families that we have. And I'm not talking about old Ken. I'm talking about the Word of God. I'm talking about we don't hide the Word of God here. We focus and we major on the Word of God. There are some things we've got to do in a service, but I'm going to tell you, we're going to major on preaching. And this congregation has seen some of the greatest preachers God has ever put a word in. And I found out, Brother Jerry, we got an option whether we're going to listen to preaching or we're going to turn our ear deaf to preaching. And it was a task. And they ran to Jesus and said, she's got a fever. I cannot elaborate enough about children. You listen to me. I started 20 years in this ministry Christmas morning. I've seen enough people and I've seen enough heartaches and I've seen enough kids. Certainly, let me tell you something. You don't know what your kids are going to do. But I'm going to tell you as their preacher, and whether you like this or don't like this, if they mess up, and when they do mess up, I'm going to be a preacher to them. I'm going to love them. And I'm going to tell them what this book says. And Jesus forgives. And this church ain't going nowhere with your mouth on each other criticizing. You got mistakes. Won't you get up here and tell us all your issues? Go ahead. I give somebody 5 minutes. It's just five after. I'll give you 5 minutes. I'll close this sermon. Anybody want to take a stab at it? Honey, let me tell you something. Jesus said, there's none good, no, not one. Ye that are without sin, cast the first stone. Judge that ye be not judged. Ah, Brother Ken. That's right. That's right. Ah, Brother Gerald, Brother Tim. What you done? What you doing? Jesus said, forgive, that you may be forgiven. They've done me wrong. Honey, let me tell you, if that's all I had to preach about, that'd get boring. That's all some of you got to talk about, how bad somebody's been to you. How they used you. Can I remind you, Jesus called us to minister, and He felt used a lot. You ought to thank God you feel used up. At least He's using you. I ain't never grabbed a hoe handle, Brother David. If it was new, it didn't mean it's used. Well, I feel used. They just used me. Well, be a Christian. Talking about them ain't going to fix nothing. Watch this. Somebody shout right here. If you're throwing rocks, you're losing ground. Man, my kids got issues. My grandbaby's got issues. You know why? I'm their grandpa. I'm their daddy. And if we could learn as a congregation and as a Christian to go unto the Lord for others that need help. I'd love to sing Peter, James, John, Andrew, and Jesus in a service. Some of y'all told them, well, Jesus, it's past 12. Let us out. Jesus, don't you know? James and John was the sons of thunder. They may tell you something you didn't enjoy. Their task. And I'm going to tell you something. It's a task, isn't it? It's a task. Look what the Bible says now. On this task, I love their inspiration in verse 38. The Bible said, and they besought Him for her. I see their inclination. They besought Him. And I see their intercession for her. Don't you know that people would get help if you'd pray for them instead of talk about them? Be careful, mom and daddies. Be careful throwing rocks at other folks as young'uns. Because this is something else, too. I didn't know we'd get there, but while I'm out there in deep water, I'll just go on and scream. Everybody's crows the blackest. Well, them's my grandyoungins. And them's your grandyoungins. And them's the prettiest grandyoungins I got, prettier than your grandyoungins. But yours is prettier than mine. You understand? We human. Human. Wonder why God give us two ears and one mouth. Okay, so y'all don't want no more preaching. It don't mean I'm going to quit preaching. You ain't the first Baptist crowd looked at me like, you want some? I still got Brother Barry and Brother Randall and Brother Gerald over there. Stand up, Brother Mike. Brother Tim will shoot you. He ain't going to fight you. He'll just shoot you. Amen. Ain't I telling it right? Ain't I telling it right? They besought him for her. And I don't know if you noticed this, but something happened. Now we see a touch. Did you know what Jesus done? Mark 1, he reached and got her by the hand. Lifted her up. Right here he stood over and rebuked the fever. It come from the devil. And honey, I'm going to tell you what'll kick you out of the race and serving God is the devil. And aren't you glad? Watch this. Brother Adam said he don't walk on water, he walks on the sea. He's exactly right. He stood over the devil. Ain't you glad he's... Ain't you glad he didn't have to go in and bow to the fever? But he stepped in and he talked to the fever. And he rebuked the fever. Glad Jesus has control. Man, out yonder, I felt 90 devils come on me Friday. I mean 90. It's like what Miss Renee is saying. There's a barking, there's a hollering, and what you going to do now? I mean, you done got to the bottom of the barrel. It's low. What you going to do now? All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost whispered to me, said, I'm in charge. Glad he's in charge. He walked over and looked at the devil and rebuked him. I'm glad the God of Jesus is still in the miracle-making business. Now, there was a touch. Jesus rebuked it. You know what he said? Let them go. Wouldn't it be a blessing if God would do a miracle in your life this morning and that's got you bound down? He'd speak to it and make the devil release it. What about your mind? Some of you got your mind in a total trap. And let me tell you something. I don't downplay depression. I've done found out depression is an illness and people need to be prayed for and loved. Be careful. Be real careful here. They got to take a pill to live. Be careful. Be real careful. I don't know if a pill would fix you or not. Say, man, you little henpeck looking something. This book will fix you. Some of the best men I know so eat up with depression, they can't even hardly write their name. You know why? The devil. Some of y'all's got to understand, this ain't a Mickey Mouse ministry. Yes, I heard a man was here the other week, said he don't believe in God. What does he believe in the devil? Care if he believes in God or not. I can tell you, there's a God in heaven. He lives in me, Brother Dave. I'm glad he loves us. He stood up. Wouldn't that be a blessing? If God stood over, what had you knocked out this morning? And he said, release him. Look what she done. My last point. Look at the testimony. Immediately, she ministered unto them. This word minister is where we get our word deacon from. I'm supposed to help our church, right? I don't get to preach tonight. Y'all paying me by the hour today. We get the word deacon. We got three deacons in this church. It means to labor, to lay down, to minister. Now, would you look around and tell me how three men could do all of this? Don't be whining about the deacons. And if you got an issue, don't whine about the preacher to the deacons. You come see the honcho. And I didn't stutter. Some of y'all are looking around. The doors ain't locked. Don't bother me with little things. Sort them out yourself. Well, can I wear this to church? You got to ask me if you can wear it to church. You don't need to wear it to church. Like Brother Jay, they're trying to get me to sign something. I ought not be a signing. Praise God. I ate me some gunpowder this morning. She ministered unto them. Quit waiting on somebody to do everything and get involved and do it. She ministered unto them. Could you imagine all of a sudden she was took over with a great fever and had her bound. And all of a sudden Jesus walked up on top and said, let her go. And she popped up, and she and he went down yonder to the Rexall. No, honey, the drugstore was closed. Jesus give her all she needed. And she jumped up, and she started helping people. I want to say, number one, Jesus got to touch you before you can minister. I want to say, secondly, Jesus needs you to minister. Man, look to new people in our church. I know some of y'all today, you've got some preaching. But you need it. Turn around. But somebody says, "Say you need preaching, honey." Turn around and tell them you need preaching. Turn around and tell them right now, you need you some preaching. You know you need some preaching. Brother Tim, I don't know who you're pointing to, but I agree. Amen. You know they need preaching, Brother Tim. But you look at her testimony. Maybe they say, why are you doing it? Jesus touched me. Listen, we ain't better than nobody else. Do you want to have a church or you want to have a ministry? Do you not know last Sunday night what kind of impact this church made in the people's lives at Roanoke, Alabama? Had two lines line up nearly 50 miles from this place. You say, well, what I do don't... You know what I found out? The least little blessing I can do or give is better than the greatest intention that I'll ever have. We all intend to do things. You know what bothered me, Miss Peggy? I wanted to try to get to see your parents in that big snow fail. And you asked me, that bothered me to death because I was so afraid. I love them people. She's got a daddy. I wish he was down here and healthy and some of y'all back talk. He's tall as them chandelier. He got hands like a ham of meat on him. I was so afraid. You know, yeah, I called and I intended to do things, but it was going to keep me from what I wanted to do or I needed to do. Do y'all know what I'm saying? We need each other. There's nobody in here better than nobody else. Reminds me the other week I had a buddy call and he said, preacher, said, I had a family left me the other week because I cut a tree outside. Are we in the pupwood business or the ministry business? Unto the Lord, I promise y'all, if I'd seen her pull back in the parking lot, I'd took the parking lot and I'd have tore a bush up. If you ain't got preaching in a church, you ain't going to have no church. Her testimony. Let me ask you something. Do y'all really expect one lady when she calls on you and you say, I ain't got time? What about when one of the men call you? Well, you want people to have time for you. And somebody's got to be the preacher here. And ain't no one family going to run this outfit. Ain't no two families going to run it. Plain preaching's good for you. I like just plain biscuits and gravy, some black pepper on it, and fried rabbit, and quail and frog legs. I took a picture, seen on Facebook this week, I was eating sardines with a pocket knife. Brother Kevin said, we need to give our preacher a raise. Son, that's high living. You talk, I mean, son, that's good. I'd run the carpenters plumb out of the job this week. I offered a feller 10 of my sardines. I insulted him. Boy, we need each other. Miss Sherry, come. You know what would be a blessing? You know, I want to say something, be real honest with you. And don't laugh when I say that. I don't want no jokes. I'm giving an invitation. Because I know some of you are going to laugh. But I mean it. I'm just being honest with you as a preacher. I got mind issues. You say, I know, preacher, I've been here 20 years. I know. Sometimes my mind plays with me. Just like what Miss Renee said at the grocery store, devil talking. Sure does help you. People come and say, you know what? I'm with you. Your family's over yonder in a lonely place and they show up and say, hey, preacher, what we need to do? Cut this off. I don't want nobody to hear this on the radio. Cut this off. If you go